Good morning, everybody. Well, thank you for inviting me to be here with you today in this wonderful virtual worship world that we have been living in. And I'm really blessed to speak with all of you and with others in this very unique way. As some of you may know, and those of you who don't, that I'm the president of the Covenant of Unitarian Universalist Pagans. And I want to take just a brief moment and share who we are. CUPS is shorthand for the name of the organization, and we are a covenanting community of the Unitarian Universalist Association. This is a distinction for UU-identified groups who are different from traditional congregations, and our purpose is to bring the Earth-centered and pagan perspective to Unitarian Universalism. The CUPS board includes professionals in business, communications, marketing, human services, and UU religious leaders. And together we serve approximately 75 congregational chapters and 500 plus members. And our, you know, if you, we, by judging by our social media, it looks like we're even bigger in our outreach. Monthly we receive and vote on new chapters interested in joining and field inquiries worldwide. And we're also this year going to continue offering programs at General Assembly, and we will be a sponsor of GA again also. So when Reverend Joel invited me to be here with you today, his invitation was not the usual come talk to my church about being a pagan type of conversation. I was almost excited to think about it until he suggested discussing the challenges, themes, and discoveries when creating the book Pagan and Earth-Centered Voices in Unitarian Universalism with my co-author and editor, Reverend Shirley Rank. Honestly, I choked a little bit. That book was a massive piece of work, and none of us ever thought it would really get published. The more Shirley and I talked about it, the more I kept grounding myself in things that really anchored me. I felt like the little train who knew they could in my questioning. There's a section in a song called Solid Ground by Dougie MacLean that inspires me and reminds me of where I came from and who I am when it comes to taking big projects on. Four lines of the song go, "It is the land that is our wisdom. It is the land that shines us through. It is the land that feeds our children. It's the land. You cannot own the land. The land owns you." Hearing this song anchors me in memories of the past, of sitting on the banks of the Susquehanna River behind my family's home as a girl. I imagine feeling the breezes envelop my body, the smell of the river water, the fish, the soil, and the land blending together, the warmth of the summer sun on my skin. It was a part of me who feels alive when that memory comes present. And I'm connected to life, centered, whole, and complete. It reminds me that spirit made me just right to face anything in life. And the smell of the lilac trees and the lilies of the valley growing wild presents themselves to relax my mind. It feels like I can create spiritual freedom when I go there. We are of the earth and it is us. The land calls us to be part of the sacred web of life. For me, this is what it is to be pagan. This feeling that anchors my soul reminds me to keep stepping up and stepping in as I walk through the challenges and whatever we had to face when creating this tool for our faith community. After emailing back and forth with Reverend Joel, I realized the central theme of creating this book pushed for deep listening beyond anything we ever knew we could do. Listening as deeply and as clearly as possible to conversations with all kinds of people and being seen and unseen. Listening to the publisher's needs, desires, and demands. Listening to Shirley as we walk through the journey as though she were another side of myself and I of her. Listening to the voices both expressed and not expressed. listening to the disenfranchised voices in the Earth-centered and pagan communities and the UU communities, listening to all of the essayists, and most important, working to hear and listen to whatever was calling us to do the work. The framework of the word voices presented itself on every single corner of life for Shirley and I. It was not just the sound of the word. It was not about the dictionary meaning either. It did not answer if I heard someone or understood them. It included all of that and at the same time was calling for something bigger. After weeks of looking into the underbelly of what I was listening for, I was clear of one thing. Spirit was sending me on a listening journey. And I really did not think I was the one who should be doing the job. At one point, I thought, well, thank you, Spirit. Thank you, gods and goddesses. Then I would question, thank you, ancestors. Why the heck do you think I should listen? You never did. I was thinking and giving gratitude to all of things that I saw and could not see, trying to figure out why the words voices and listening kept me up at night. I shared all of this with Shirley and the CUPS Board of Trustees, since I was heading to an Earth-centered gathering in California and Shirley was going to be there. We contacted some trusted advisors in the pagan and Earth-centered movement to have lunch with us to discuss this whole notion of voices and listening. We had lunch with Selena Fox of Circle Sanctuary, Starhawk of the Reclaiming Community, and Margot Adler of NPR, the author of Drawing Down the Moon. All had been dear colleagues who never caught me any slack about the theme showing its way into my purview. And they certainly did not let me down this time either. Shirley was clear at the luncheon that I was at a table of crone elders, and they were not going to let me off the hook. Finally, the encouragement and the coaching hit me, and I thought, okay, Spirit, check mark, I'm in. Margot said something important to me that day. All she did was get up, walk over, put her arm around me, and whisper into my ear, Spirit is telling you it is time. Like the clicking of gears beginning to turn the dial, I heard the voice of the project. The voice created a more extensive understanding of Earth, the Earth-centered and pagan community in Unitarian Universalism that would connect people's hearts, hands, heads, souls, senses, and spirits. Off Shirley and I went into our meetings with the publisher, the editorial staff, the CUPS board, essayists, and our differences. I held tight onto my discoveries and the core of the connection of the earth, the pagan community that I loved, and trusting and gifting our UU community with a needed tool. I also stepped into something compelling, a spiritual calling I never knew I had. We were clear that there were different voices we wanted to represent, and the publisher had their concerns to share also, and what they wanted. Sometimes there was no agreement. Shirley and I both pushed for the inclusion of diversity, age, path, race, ability, and gender identity. Essays on cultural appropriation, LGBTQ participation, in this kind of spirituality needed deep discussion, not only with our writers, but with the UUA, so as not to create upsets. These themes became guideposts in reviewing the essays along the way. It made sorting through the people's contributions easier. The alignment of the voices needed to be from UUs or those who worked very closely with the UU community. At the same time, there needed to be a connection to move to more prominent pagan and earth-centered communities that CUPS and the UU Pagans were in partnership with. We partner with many communities across the United States, and we wanted to make sure that the key ones were present. One of the biggest challenges was gaining the rights to include Margot Adler's essay that was published in the UU World years before, given she had died a few months before going to press. Now it felt like we were not only listening to the voices of the living, but of the dead, and dealing with lawyers who somehow thought this book was bigger than it was going to be. Shirley and I were like the front and the back of the same hand, spirit aligning us. She was not a technologically savvy person. Typing a piece and reviewing it on Microsoft Word documents were fine. Typing a piece onto Google Drive was not in her wheelhouse. The technology gap was huge, and it became another theme for some of our authors too. I did not really want to print a bunch of stuff out and be sending it off for editing. So I invented something called a technology partner or a techno partner, and invited them to have somebody who lived closer by them receive the files, print them out, deliver them, take them back, cue in the edits, and send them my way. And in doing so, saved myself a lot of work. And then together, Shirley and I would Zoom and read them together and read any edits over and over and over to make sure we had them right. And then when she couldn't get online for the Zoom, I would record my own person reading them for her. Gathering essays of a well-crafted vision was easy. Delivering the message of rejection was awful. There were great articles presented that just were not what the publisher wanted. And the challenge became being the person who called to let them down. People were incredibly gracious and understood. And it was more me getting through my concerns of disappointing people. So this is where I needed to buckle down and listen to the voice of why not. This was all in language. And as someone who's trained in ontological thinking and speaking, I understood that. So the theme was okay to deliver bad news and learn that it was a good lesson. And I'm clear that from the experience that you can be friendly, kind, and all that good stuff and still deliver disappointing news. One person, it was even in my own congregation, and that was a little more difficult, and she was incredibly understanding. Other themes were around balancing who one is from a different perspective that is new and fresh to the popular culture of UUism. UU pagans are generally from a Druidic or a Wiccan path, but we wanted to include the indigenous, the Vudan, the heathen, and all of the other beautiful parts of the people of the earth. Most of what UUs were accustomed to was Wicca. How should we break that up? How do we allow for a system of ancient binary language in the face of a contemporary world of challenging language or changing language? Should we alter it? Let it stay in the binary world? How do we let the voices of and the lessons of elders of Earth-centered movement be okay and not throw them out with like the baby with the bathwater? Many of those voices helped shape the early years of UU paganism. So how would we do that? I have to say the fun part was collaborating with someone who shaped UU Earth-centered thinking in our association and pushing each other's comfort zones. Shirley had been the author of two curriculums around the goddess for women. And she knew how to maneuver some things in the UU community that I had no clue. The publisher pushed us to think about things not in any of the other books in the Voices series. The book was part of a series called Voices in Unitarian Universalism. We had to develop a glossary. None of the other books had a glossary. Really? What did we mean by magic with a K? Why was it spelled differently? Why a reading list? We had to develop a reading list, a resource list. None of the other books had that. Why did we as pagans have to develop those? I understood all sides of the coin, but why was this going to be a different kind of voices book? Again, I had to keep stepping into that listening and voices dynamic and questioned everything, every step of the way. It was frustrating at times. Overall, the essays we supported and accepted honored the many things that CUPS chapters experienced in answering to their congregations. They brought forward the voice of young adults working to create a new way of expressing themselves. They welcomed the representatives from around the CUPS community since 1986, when they became part of it all, and they were part of the inventing of it all. The sense of inclusion felt like we were going to get there. In 2017, Shirley and I went to New Orleans for the book's release. We were both very nervous. I expected her years of service to give her calm, but our late night chats clarified how this was different. It was different because we were officially opening the doors for people in the association into our worlds and not their interpretations. The book signing showed the day of the book signing showed us the beautiful tapestry of invention and its many contributions. And we were proud to have a book lifting the voices and thinking of that which was ancient and new to UUs. Currently, there's considerable interest in creating a curriculum for the book, both for congregations and for religious educators. CUPS is creating a team of writers, questioners, listeners, trainers to move in this direction. And we welcome anyone who's willing to participate with us. We are looking at all of the themes and the discoveries that we made on our journey to include in that. What voices did you hear if you read the book? What voices were missing? What should have been added that we can put in a curriculum are all of the questions that are present. This book and the future curriculum invite the distinction of listening to voices other than just hearing them. We have two ears and one mouth. How can we use our ears bigger than we normally do? It begs to question whether we how we deeply hear and listen and be with others. I will say that this journey continues to challenge that. Earth-centered spirituality and paganism bring an ecstatic experience of the holy, an earthy experience of ritual and worship that drives up spiritual transformation. The sense of tribe, community, and connection is rich in the marriage between Unitarian Universalism and pagans. As I speak with ministers and congregations and new chapters of CUPS, it is clear we are all learning from one another. So I ask your congregation, what is possible inside of your relationship with spirit and the earth? The voices around you in concert with the land and the diversity of people who honor that road. Can you hear how the earth calls you into service? As we close today, I invite you to feel all that connects you to the extension of who you are, your love in all that is seen and unseen, unheard and unheard, and be blessed by the day before you. Thank you and blessed be.